Before we start today's show, we would just like to take a brief moment of silence to acknowledge the victims of the Uvalde elementary school shooting. So we're going to stop and take a 30-second break just for everyone to kind of think about what happened today and reflect on that. And then after we take our break, we're going to go into the show today. So here we go with a 30-second break. All right. So before we move into our show for today, we just want to say, you know, thoughts and prayers are never enough. And obviously we want to see these types of things come to an end. But, you know, given the platform that we have, we do want to say our condolences, our thoughts and prayers to all of the people involved in that incident. And we are thinking and praying for y'all. Hopefully, you know, people can reach out with support for them, whether it be financially, emotionally, spiritually, and, you know, everyone can start rebuilding in that community. So, again, very unfortunate situation. It's tough to go from this to talking about basketball. We just wanted to make sure we got our thoughts out on that situation before we got into today's show. So thanks for everyone taking a moment of silence with us. And now here we go into the rest of our show.
Houston, Roger, we copy and we're standing by for your TV.
They throw it up. Oh, there goes Jalen Green. Humans can't fly. By Green, who's back in, plays it ahead of Moore, back to Green! Oh, and in time for Thanksgiving, but there's plenty of yams to go around for everyone.
Welcome in to another episode of the Launchpad Podcast, presented by Clutch City Control Room. As always, I'm your host, Don Knock. You can follow me on Twitter, at Don Knock. You can follow the pod, at Clutch City CR on Twitter. You go into the description of the Twitter bio. There's the link for the YouTube, the Apple Podcast, and the Spotify links. I think we are getting close to 875 subscribers on YouTube. So again, thank you to everyone who has subscribed. We very much appreciate it. Thank you for everyone who continues to send in amazing YouTube comments. Love getting those. We've done a better job at responding to those recently. If you haven't subscribed, please do. We are trying to push for 1,000 subscribers, so we would really appreciate that. As always, I am joined by my host over there, Paolo Alves. Paolo, go ahead and tell the people where they can find your stuff.
First of all, you need to give credit to the people. We're at 892. Okay.
Okay. I apologize. I haven't checked yet today, so that means like 30 amazing of you guys or girls have subscribed since I checked it yesterday, which is awesome. Thank you so much. I do not disregard your contributions to.
It's okay. Career. We all know you can't do math. It's okay. Numbers are not your strong
suit. I promised that there would be no math, and now I'm unfortunately being forced to do it. So,
yeah, y'all can find me on Twitter at Paul Alves NBA. That's PaulAlvesNBA. Everything I do, from podcasts like this one to the lashes on Twitter Spaces, will find itself linked on there.
And Jackson, our super special guest, bi-weekly as per usual. Go ahead and tell the people where they can find everywhere where you do your damage.
Everywhere where I do my damage. I love that. The 17 million podcasts a week. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. Of course, be sure to check out Locked on Rockets Monday through Friday coverage of your Houston Rockets. The State of the Rockets podcast that I host with none other than the Mastodon himself, Roosh Williams. And of course, Locked on NBA Mondays each and every week to get your week started off right with the three biggest stories across the NBA landscape. And now I'll have to throw it back to you, one Don Knock, because that intro that everybody just heard at the top of the show was made by our own in-house like music master Don Knock himself, coming up with the beat, doing the mix down, adding the audio to it. It is the newest podcast intro, the hottest podcast intro in Houston now, and it's all courtesy of him.
The fastest growing, you should say, because when you start from zero and you go to one, you're growing pretty fast. But I spent most of the day Friday coming up with that. Some of y'all that are in group chats with us may have received that blank music from me asking if you thought it was good or not. Some people didn't respond. Some people gave me amazing feedback. So I want to thank everyone that did give me feedback, including Jackson and Paolo. Y'all gave me some really awesome feedback, so I appreciate y'all. And yeah, it was, it's weird because like I used to do some music stuff, and that's why like I kind of knew what I was able to do with the intro stuff. But it's just weird sharing that world kind of with the sports world, and also like music is something that's very personal to me, so like having other people, you know, hear and interpret and, you know, give thoughts on my music, it's always very like, it's a very personal thing for me. So I want to thank, like I said, thank everyone that gave me feedback on that, and thank everyone that gave me positive feedback too. Appreciate you guys. Our show today, we had done a little cold opener and kind of talked about some stuff in there. If you didn't hear that, go back and listen to that. We just want this episode to kind of be a, you know, a break from the all the things going on in the world right now. So obviously it's a very, it's a time with a lot of gravity going on right now, but we just want today's episode to just be a time that you can take a break from what's going on and talk some Rockets. And then, you know, when you're ready, get back to everything going on there. So thanks for rocking with us today. Obviously a very important day in real life as well, but we're going to have some great Rockets talk for y'all too. So getting into this Rockets talk, we're going to talk about something that happened late last night. And that was Jalen Green going on the show with Bill Simmons. Not friend of the show, Bill Simmons.
Whoa. Jalen Green and Bill Simmons are best friends, apparently. So Jalen Green said that was his dog for real. All right. Like that is truth. Though we have the receipts, that is straight facts, evidence. Don, come on.
That hurt my heart a little bit to hear, I'm not gonna lie, because I'd like to be his dog for real. What about me? I live right here. Like, I guess I don't matter.
I'm going to go Photoshop the tweet just for you, so it says, Don Knock, my dog for real. Like, we should all just go start Photoshopping the Jalen tweet with our own names in there and just sharing it.
I would not be mad at that. That'd be a funny flip.
Palo Al's my dog for real.
need that expeditiously. So Jalen went on Bill Simmons' show, unfortunately. He started off when he was on there talking about when he played against the Lakers. So he mentioned, you know, playing against the Lakers, scoring 32 points in March, and said that trend that started my trend upward a little bit for my confidence and everything. And I think that was something that was really not obvious to see, but you could tell like late in that game, right? You could see kind of the wheels turning in his head that like, hey, I'm starting to cook these guys. Like, Maybe we got something here. And like, Jalen's not someone that really lacks for confidence anyway. You can just kind of tell, like, see how he carries himself, see how he dresses himself, you know, see how he goes about his business. And like, but that's where it really started to cut through kind of like on the NBA level. Paolo, you're giggling over there. Do you have some thoughts on this?
Yeah, Jalen's thinking, well, maybe I'm good at basketball, actually.
I hope he's thinking that.
Listen, I'm just kidding. I'm surprised it was the 32-point Lakers game, because even leading up to that game, Ewell had been playing pretty well for a couple of weeks. That being said, I think it's am I really about to be mean to Steven Silas? I think it's pretty telling that Jalen had the best game, like probably the best game of the season for him, and then the game afterwards, he scored 11 points and only played 27 minutes because, well, it was Dallas and they were getting blown out, and they're like, thank you, Silas. Thank you for not giving us Jalen Green for some more time around. But anyways, I think just looking at the games from there on, I think it is true that he did play very well from there until the end of the season. He was already playing well. But it goes to show how important it is for these guys, even a guy that's as confident as Jalen, to just get a good game against what we now know wasn't a good team. But at the time, you look at LeBron and you're like, okay, I'm cooking LeBron's team. That's gotta be enough for it to be a confidence booster. And then there were those clutch plays where Jalen Green was legit just taking over. I think this was also the game where Çengün hit a three like to end the game, and everybody was going nuts because everything good's happening this game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it goes to show that sometimes with rookies, you really don't know what's going on. You can't convince me that Jalen was not a scrub, but wasn't the type of player that he was to end the season prior to the Lakers game. But the Lakers game set off a switch, and the talent that was already there came into full display, and he managed to put it together. I think that's something that's really important. I think that's something that we need to pay attention to with whoever we draft next year. And if Çengün gets the starting spot and gets heavy minutes with Çengün as well, because we saw Çengün last year, but not to the same extent that we saw Jalen. And so he might go through some of the same phases as being a starter and teams game planning for him. So I think that's something to take into consideration going into next season as well.
Jackson, what are your thoughts on this Lakers game and how it affected Jalen's development?
I mean, this was, you know, when reviewing Jalen's season and just looking at some of the most important games from this past Rocket season, I think this Lakers game was, to me, the best game of the Rocket season, like as a whole. And it was easily the game of the season for Jalen Green, because it was really that moment where it felt like he arrived, right? Where he had the chance to close out, you know, I can't say a talented team, right? Seeing as how they're both lottery teams, but right, he had the chance to go toe to toe with the Lakers, with LeBron, with Russ, you know, three future Hall of Famers on the floor, right? At one point, I think it was like at one point in the top of the fourth quarter, it was like you had LeBron, Russ, and Melo like on the floor against like the baby Rockets. Like like one veteran and
don't what? You mean three Hall of Famers as in Westbrook, LeBron, and Jalen?
Good one.
I mean,
you're right.
I'm not joking.
Look, hey.
That's Rocket legend Carmelo Anthony. You're disrespecting.
I was about to say three future Hall of Famers and three like Hall of Fame Rockets players, right? You know, future, you know, Rockets yeah. legends in Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, and Jalen Green. So, no, legitimately, right? This was just, it was that, like, that coming of age game for Jalen Green. And it really felt like that first step in the right direction of like, yo, like we'd seen Jalen kind of dominate some games before, either like the three ball was falling or like he was able to get inside and like get the downhill game going. This was the one where it really felt like the first complete game from Jalen, right? Because he hit some big shots from outside. He was working the mid range. He was snaking pick and rolls. He was finishing inside. He was getting it done in a variety of ways. And the 10-0 run, like the personal 10-0 run in overtime, was just like the cherry on top. And it wasn't even like we just say the 10-0 run in overtime, but it was like 19 points across fourth quarter and overtime to put the Lakers away, which is what made that game so damn impressive.
So the next thing that we'll talk about that they discussed on the pod was some of the influences that Jalen Green kind of attributes to how he plays and that he drew inspiration from. And those were Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. He said those were his biggest basketball influences. And he said that he started watching Kobe videos in high school and used them, you know, to you know, model his game after. He also mentioned, you know, the post game that Kobe had as something that he wanted to involve in his game. But he hasn't been able to really implement that yet because he needs to add some strength to be able to maneuver in the post. And I think that's something that a lot of Rockets, you know, fans, analysts, talked about as well of, you know, once Jalen can add a little bit of strength, we may see more of the full package come out. And, you know, Paolo, you're someone who has said Jalen Green is the next Michael Jordan on the timeline a couple times. So, you know, how did you hear about this, you know, validating all of your takes?
I mean, I did not say that. I did say that.
Sorry. What did you say? What did you say so we get it clear for the record?
I said I think Jalen Green has a top three shooting guard of all time potential. And I stand by that. And to me, it's, I don't want to kind of divert from the topic, but still, to me, it's, you've got the tools, you've got the mentality, you've got the talent. What else do you really need? You've got the opportunity early on to put everything in display, and you've got the work ethic. I don't see what's there to limit Jalen Green's ceiling. There's no one skill that he cannot do at all. We've seen him play defense. We've seen him play make. We've seen him score the ball at all three levels. I don't see what can't he do to become... When players have that much talent and have that combination, it usually comes down to, well, how many titles can you win? And that's what's going to define you as top three shooting guard of all time or a top six, seven, depending on what you want. Like James Harden probably would be a top three shooting guard of all time if he had won two or three titles. And I think it's the same with Jalen. And the fact that he modeled this game around him, I can definitely see Kobe. I wasn't following the NBA when Kobe was playing, but I've watched more Kobe games than I've watched MJ games. So I'm not really sure what MJ's game in general looked like.
But it's very similar to Kobe's because Kobe modeled most.
Kobe
of his
modeled
game
his game
MJ.
After MJ. So well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. And I think that the one difference that I just spotted the naked eye is. I think Jalen moves a lot more off the ball than Kobe did. At least maybe I'm just watching later career Kobe and that's a different Kobe, but I think Jalen moves a lot more off the ball, and I think it might not be inspiration from this player, but I think he reminds me a lot of Curry in the sense that when he's not with the ball, he's relocating all the time. He's navigating screens. He's
I'll have to beep that out in post to make sure you know.
Yeah, but I think
just said there.
He reminds me of redacted. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, that's definitely coming from the pipe.
But yeah, I think that's a part of it. That's that, and that's part of what's so appealing about Jalen's game and about how he will fit with all of these or any of these stars that might join the Rockets while he is here. So I think I can definitely see the Kobe inspiration. I mean, if you go, shout out to Arian at Arshani on Twitter. He made that compilation where it's Kobe's shots intertwined with Jalen Green shots from the same positions, and it looks so similar. It's so mind-blowing. I know you can do that probably with most players in the NBA just without big the sample sizes, but I thought that shout out to him for that. I thought that was really cool.
To your point about Jalen operating off ball, that was one of the areas that I continued to highlight that really stood out to me throughout the season was seeing, and I even got to the point where like I asked Silas about it at one point. I was like, hey, so like Jalen's moving without the ball really well. And he was like, yeah, we call those windows. Like those are important things that we focus on with him specifically, like things that the coaching staff were preaching to him about how to be effective at finding these quote unquote windows where, okay, like, you know, the play is developing, Jalen's in the weak side corner, KPJ is like at the top of the key, like initiating the offense, and KPJ starts driving in, and maybe like the low man rotates over and like the help defense rotates and then takes away like the pass to the weak side corner away from Jalen. So then Jalen like runs that baseline route to get to the strong side corner and then, you know, has that opening on that other side to get a kick out for a wide open three. We saw him as the season went along get more and more comfortable about moving without the basketball and finding those windows, you know, to be effective and to have opportunities to get those wide open shots within the Rockets offense. And that is absolutely something to be, you know, to build upon moving forward, thinking that Jalen isn't, I don't think he's going to be that like traditional, like heliocentric star, like has to have the ball in his hands, you know, is unwilling to or stubborn enough that he won't move without the basketball. And I do think that Steven Silas and the coaching staff deserve some credit for forcing those lessons on him early, right? Because again, this Rockets team could have very easily been like, yo, number two overall pick, you got all the talent in the world, we're going to put the rock in your hands, go have like a 35.5% usage rating, and you're going to like have terrible efficiency, but you're going to get up like 25, 30 shots a night, and maybe you'll win rookie of the year, whatever, right? They could have done that. And that's what a lot of Rockets fans wanted to see, right? They wanted to see Jalen with the rock in his hands, everybody else get out of the way, do whatever. There were jokes made about Jalen being like PJ Tucker, like stationed off in the corner, you know, within the offense, especially in early parts of the season.
Tim Hardaway Jr. and Trevor Ariza, actually.
That was mine.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Some people said PJ Tucker as well. Point being, right, I do think there was like maybe a more of a middle ground, right, where I do think Jalen wasn't spotlighted enough in the early going. That said, I do think there was a direct like benefit to the coaching staff not wanting to like rush things by putting the ball in his hands right away, by getting him acclimated to the idea of, all right, you're going to have some reps on the ball, you're also going to have some reps off the ball. And again, part of that plays into KPJ needing to learn the point guard position, right? He needed the rock in his hands the majority of the time that he was on the floor to run and orchestrate the offense, because the Rockets needed to see what they had there. At the end of the day, it's never as white and black as people try to make it out to be. There's a lot more gray area, a lot more nuance in what this team tried to accomplish this past season. But if you look at the entire big picture, right, if you look at the macro of things, you walk away incredibly impressed that Jalen now has this like diverse skill set. Is like you put the ball in his hands and he can get it done going downhill, you know, creating his own shot, creating for others, or be an off-ball scoring threat as well. So if you bring in another guy like a Paolo Banchero, who you can put the ball in his hands and have him be the primary playmaker, then good things can happen if you've got a star two guard who can play off of that.
Yeah, and just before you move on to the next
week, I brought up Paolo Banchero and Paolo couldn't help himself. No. He was like, no, we got to stick on this topic for as long as Jackson will let me.
It's not about Paolo, actually. It's about Jalen. One of the things that I saw him do that really reminded me of Curry is sometimes he had the ball in his hands and he would drive and he would snake the pick and roll and he would pass the ball off to someone, be it in the post or whatever, and he would instantly relocate. And I have a play in mind in specific where he passes the ball and he instantly runs back out to the perimeter and gets the ball back, and it's a wide open three because defenses aren't used to players moving this much. Usually when a star player or a scoring guard gives the ball up, kind of like James Harden, he's sagging off, like he's lazily going to the three-point line, and so you have some time to adjust. Jalen doing that is really unique, and that's sort of what the Curry comparison came up is. When he's driving and he gives the ball up and he immediately relocates, there's going to be very few defenders in the league that will have the energy, or and especially at the shooting guard position where there's so many stars, that are going to follow you around, because just that alone makes you hard to guard. Like, it's not about how fancy your crossover is or how deadly your step back is. Sometimes just moving a bunch will wear your opponents down, and that works on the defensive end so you can get more open shots, and on the offensive end, because if you're getting guarded by a player that has some offensive role on their team, they're going to be worse on offense as well, because, well, you're just so damn annoying to guard. You're constantly chasing him around.
Shout out too, because I don't think we're just keep going back and forth on this one topic for the rest of the podcast. No, like, because I mean, right, we get like the PTSD flashbacks to James Harden, right? Like refusing to ever move without the basketball, just like, you know, hanging out at the top of the key, like almost all the way back near the logo, because unfortunately, like, he was the safety valve for the Rockets offense, right? He would initiate the offense, and then like if the play didn't end with James Harden taking a shot, he would float back out towards the top of the key, and then sometimes they would reset it, kick it back out to him. You see the exact same thing with Luka constantly in the Mavericks offense. You also, surprisingly, right, because you like this guy was like touted as being like Steph Curry light, you see the same thing with Trae Young. Trae Young does the exact same thing where he floats around the top of the perimeter and very rarely relocates without the basketball to create an opportunity within the offense. And I think that's, again, that's one of the cons, one of the downsides to those heliocentric offenses where you have that one player who is like the sole engine of the offense. They pretty much have to be back out there ready to reinitiate the play if it doesn't actually generate a shot on the first pass through. Whereas the Warriors, with Steph Curry and all the different playmakers that they have around him, guys who can either attack off the bounce or then create and draw up another play, you know, without the ball having to be in his hands, gives him the benefit of the opportunity to be able to move without the basketball. And we saw the Rockets do a lot of that with Jalen Green, albeit they didn't do it nearly as well as the Warriors do it, but it's a glimpse into the future of what Jalen Green, accompanied by another star or two, could potentially unlock, because again, he doesn't have to have the ball in his hands to be effective.
Yeah. And earlier in the year, me and Paolo, when we would talk about this, I would bring up a lot of times where it was like, is this coaching staff trying to go all the way anti-Harden, right? And make him play like almost more off ball than he needs to really learn and drill those principles. And it sounds like, you know, maybe they weren't thinking about it in that manner, but that is kind of what they were getting at. So interesting to hear about that. We are at about 20 minutes on this segment, so I'm going to say let's go to break. We come back, we have a good amount of Jalen Green quotes from this podcast to get to. So we'll get to some of those. We'll see how long that's going to carry us, but don't go anywhere. We will be right back. And continuing into our second segment here on the Launchpad Podcast, we are continuing on with Jalen Green's unfortunate interview with Bill Simmons. Not unfortunate that Jalen Green was there. We love Jalen, of course, but unfortunate that, you know, had to be with Bill Simmons. I'm sure I'm going to get some Bill Simmons fans in my replies, and that's okay. One of my friends is a big Bill Simmons fan, so
right, I've had to deal with him a couple times. Look, I do want to preface this, right? Like, I gave Bill Simmons all kinds of hell for his comments towards Jalen, and this is something that we can address right in this, which they did. They briefly talked about, you know, and as we're kind of navigating the topics, we're kind of going in a linear fashion here, walking through what they discussed, you know, in the one-on-one interview. But, you know, at the end of the day, I still don't agree with the comments that, you know, Bill Simmons had towards Jalen Green. I still think it was unprofessional as all hell. That said, I will also give Bill Simmons his credit. What he is good at, and the reason that he's like a successful media personality in the way that he is, he's a damn good interviewer. Like the questions that he asked Jalen Green, the way the conversation flowed, the answers that he was able to get out of him, it was a very quality interview. Because unfortunately, even though like I've had opportunities to be in like media availability sessions with Jalen Green, like have those types of opportunities to ask him questions, it's a much more guarded environment, right? Like you're not going to get good answers in like a media availability setting, because it's just, it's much more like canned, like generic. Oh, well, you know, we're going to fight hard in the next game. Oh, it's an unfortunate loss. Like you're getting like the very generic responses. Whereas in a podcast like this, a one-on-one dynamic, Bill Simmons was able to get the best out of Jalen Green, more like he dug further and got more out of Jalen Green than it feels like we've gotten like as like, you know, local media and, you know, Rockets media in the last like year. Unfortunately, it was a really quality interview. And so even though I can still like dislike Bill Simmons for how he handled it and the fact that he didn't really like actually apologize to Jalen Green for the whole situation, he still conducted a really solid interview. So I'll give him credit where credit's due.
Right. Let me balance.
I give him no credit. I'm giving him no credit. So
this was way too positive. This is an anti Bill Simmons podcast. So I'll just finish off by saying, Bill Simmons, we don't like you. And you're still property of Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez. Thank you very much.
I endorse this message. I love it. Okay.
Paolo became about 1,000% more violent when he became an Astros fan. Like, I'm just going to put that out there. Paolo started learning baseball and then wakes up and chooses violence every single day of his life.
Because now I have something to talk shit about. The Rockets are terrible. I can't talk shit about with the Rockets.
In the Harden days, I was a menace. I can't wait to get back to that. Let Jalen Green put up like 25 a game and I'll be right back at it.
Don said he's going to be back on demon time as soon as Jalen Green's averaging 25.
You already know. All right. So let's continue on with the interview here. When Jalen was asked about what he's going to work on this summer, he said, keeping my handle tight, getting better at catch and shoot threes, making reads off the pick and roll, next level type things like the corner pass when the low man helps. And then the main goal right now is trying to get stronger. So I think those are all things that, you know, make sense for him to work on. Most Rockets fans probably want him to work on, you know. I think with this one we can kind of cover fairly quickly, a little bit quicker than the last two. I mean, do y'all see anything there that you think he left out? Do you see anything there that you really want to highlight?
Well, thank you for putting us on a timer, dude. Like, we get it. We got
no timer.
Be quick.
No timer.
I mean,
we have a lot of tweets to get through, though. We do have a lot of tweets to get through. So maybe no timer, just a little urgency.
Yeah, no timer, but yes, timer.
There's no time. My watch does not have a stopwatch on right now, I swear.
Yeah.
I'm not going to actually show you, though.
We got it, then. now what's going
on? 29, 28, 20. Sorry. keep going.
We say this as we waste even more time. Anyways, Jalen.
Wait.
This is me doing the new emoji, by the way.
No, that's not your favorite. We need to get you some swirly eyes. We need to figure out.
I actually have some glasses that might be on the way with the swirly eyes. So.
I demand that I be on the podcast where you unveil those. Like, you can't use those with anybody else except for me. Like, right, the first appearance has to be with me.
Okay, that's very fair.
No, I just wanted to derail more. I didn't actually have a point to bring up yet.
All right, go ahead, Paolo.
Waste more time.
Quickly, you have like 15 seconds left.
Yes, this is what everybody wanted. Just get stronger, eat a bunch of chicken and waffles for breakfast, go work out afterwards. I'm surprised he mentioned catch and shoot shooting because I thought he was pretty good already. That being said, I think what I want him to be craftier. I think something that people really want is a floater. I think that might not be that's probably something that you need to dedicate your entire offseason to, like James Harden did. So that might be a year three or a second offseason thing. That being said, finishing around the rim is something that he definitely could get better at. He's crafty, but he's not like, I don't know, like Lou Williams or something like that type crafty. That being said, and then keeping the handle tight is something that he definitely needs to do, but I think it got really a lot better as the season went on. But yeah, it's basically some maintenance practice, and then getting better reads on the pick and roll is definitely important, but won't be make or break year two. And that corner pass that he when the help defense comes is something that, shout out to Itamar, we're shouting out everyone today, that Itamar's been hammering home about the entire season, that he needs to do. And it's just because he is so athletic and he's going to get to the rim a lot, so he needs to be able to punish when teams overhelp, and that's like a key factor to his game. He needs to be able to do this for him to be functional at a fundamental level in an NBA offense. And so it's good that that's a focal point, because that's a really big upgrade for what he can do on the court.
Is it crazy that I don't think he's that crafty? Unfortunately, Jackson's last time
on the show.
I know, right? Just kick me
he
off.
He was in the G League. He was in the G League.
He was because in the G League, like he did have like that like slight step on everybody. Like he was a slight cut above some of his competition in the G League. Makes it to the NBA, and like everybody's tougher, right? The competition's that much more difficult. And suddenly, like especially for like the first half of the season, we saw so many drives where like he like got downhill, beat his man, and like thought he had a clear lane to the bucket, went to go lay it up and would like get blocked or get turned around at the rim or like lay it up too hard off the glass because he's like focused so hard on beating his defender, he's not focusing enough on like finishing at the rim. And so
it felt like his contact finishing was a lot better on the G League tape that I was watching. Like it seemed like he was able to really get into the body of defenders in the air and finish like on balance still. And I don't know where that went when he got to the NBA, but I'm guessing a lot of it was just the physicality level was a lot higher.
Yeah. Like I don't want to say, maybe again, I don't want to say that he's not crafty. It's just like, it suddenly like went, like it disappeared a little bit from his game and it slowly started to come back as the season went along. And it's not that he's not capable of it. It's just that, again, I think it was such a big adjustment from the G League to the NBA, which a lot of people, myself included, had talked ourselves into thinking, oh, he's going to be like so NBA ready because he played in the G League. Right. And it's like, it was like kind of the polar opposite of that. We were like deer in headlights. Like what is happening here? This kid was supposed to be the one like ready to start dropping 20 a night because he was doing like 16 a night in the G League and should have been easy. But yeah, like all those different skill sets that he's working on this summer. I mean, he's gonna take such a massive jump next year. Like it's gonna be absurd what he actually comes in and the damage that he's gonna be able to do to start next season.
All right, so we'll touch on this one just briefly as well. Jalen said, I was a football player. I didn't take basketball serious until about ninth grade. So, you know, among all the other things that Jalen has room to improve in, right? He's someone who he's not one of these guys that, oh, you know, my dad played in the NBA and I grew up playing basketball from the time I was 4 years old and I only played basketball. Obviously, he was a multi-sport athlete, a little bit like someone who the Rockets, you know, may be looking to draft this year in Paolo Banchero, you know, two-sport athlete, guy that played a lot of NFL. Just had to get some Banchero propaganda in there just in case, you know, we don't get to it later on in the pod. But, you know, I think a lot of people will remember when Jalen had that one play. I don't know what position he said. I would assume he was skinny. He probably played wide receiver. But he had that one play where he jumped way up in the air and snagged the ball, and everyone was just like, this guy's hops are, you know, on another level here. So
he said he played some running back, but mostly wide receiver.
Okay, there you go.
And then it actually changed. He actually had an injury, and that's what kind of like took him away from football a little bit, where he was running a route and caught a pass and immediately like turned and somebody tackled him and like his leg like fully extended the wrong direction or something. And it like really messed him up. And so that was kind of like the moment where he was like, yeah, I don't know if I can keep doing this. Like that injury kind of like had him like reevaluating, like, all right, football or basketball. And so he opted basketball.
He made the right choice. And to me, the thing is, and just for being quick, how goddamn talented do you have to be able to just be a really good at one sport and just switch and be the second overall pick in a stacked draft class? Like, he would be clear number one this year. He would have been clear number one 2 years ago.
Look, being a natural athlete is something that, like, you have, like, some ability, like, cross sport. Like, if you are, like, a talented, like, supreme athlete at one sport, it'll probably translate to another sport. Shout out to one of the greatest movies of all time, The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler, who is a star quarterback. I can't even say it with a straight face.
I did not know where you're taking that. So
I know, I right? No, yeah. That is hands down one of the wildest, like, dumbest scenes ever to see Adam Sandler go into a prison basketball yard and start trying to school somebody to play basketball. Oh, my God. Michael Irving, of all people. Dallas Cowboys legend. Yeah. So it was anyways,
but another player that, you know, has a big football background that Jalen brought up in the next kind of segment of this podcast was Anthony Edwards. And he talked about how that he's had a little bit of a rivalry with Edwards since high school. They played together at different camps throughout high school and stuff like that. And that Jalen holds a lot of respect for Edwards.
Like the USA camp and the redacted camp.
Yes, the redacted cam that we won't be mentioning again. Flawless execution by you. But, you know, maybe down the line, this could be, you know, Jalen recruiting. These guys have a close relationship. You never know. Minnesota is very cold. It's not like Georgia. I have been there before. So, you know, maybe down the line we'll see Anthony Edwards in Houston. What do y'all think about that?
Let's just get all the shooting guards.
The two best shooting guards in the NBA on one team together.
Yeah.
Sign me up. I'd be all about it.
Okay, there we go.
Edwards can play the three. Like, it would work.
He's a big dude.
And Kevin can play the one, at least defensively.
Yeah. He's got quickness for it. So, moving on to the next topic they addressed here. He said, super teams versus draft model for team building. I like the homegrown stuff, chemistry, everybody playing together, knowing roles, stuff like that. So, you know, maybe we won't be doing the Edwards super team that we just thought we were going to do and lock in. Maybe we'll just grow organically. Or should I say free range? We'll edit that one out too. A lot of misspeaking on this podcast today. But, you know, the Rockets have a chance to get another top-level talent in this year. And if you're interested in, you know, building naturally homegrown talent, you're really having to bank on Jalen, whoever the pick is this year. And depending on what happens next year, you know, if they're able to get another lottery level pick next year, those probably three guys, as well as, you know, Alperen Şengün, are going to be really your core. Josh Christopher and Garuba as well. But I think those are the peak tech level guys if you want to really build a homegrown dynasty that you're going to be relying on.
Wait, next OKC swaps picking, they jump in next year, or next year we're still safe?
We're still safe next year. The year after that, we're totally cooked, and we have to be really good.
It's really disrespectful not to mention KJ Martin unless I missed him, and mentioning some other guys. But still, you have to see with BG how he feels about you not mentioning his boy. That being said, I think super team. I think what Kevin means by super team here is a Brooklyn type super team where just these two guys were free agents and they just signed with a team. I think you building through the draft and then you adding another star is actually, or like, is actually, what's the word? That's not the O word.
Free range, natural.
That's
grass-fed.
Yeah, USDA choice, grass-fed.
Not non-GMO.
Yeah, non-GMO.
I'll use grass-fed because I feel like that's the most out of context one, and so I use that one. This grass-fed team building. like, it's natural for teams who build through the draft to be good enough at certain points to have the cap space to add a star. I don't think that's...
This is going to be the pictures for everyone in the thumbnail, by the way, right here, what's going on right now.
I immediately, in my head, I the moment we said the word grass-fed, I immediately go touch grass-fed, like, in my head. Like, that's
I didn't do my skit. Oh, I messed up. I forgot to do the skit.
Oh, man. Disappointing.
I'll do it next time.
no, like, look, at the end of the day, you're right. Like, when it comes to, like, super teams, right? Super teams are super teams because it's, like, two to three stars, like, kind of like tampering behind the scenes, deciding, hey, like, you want to go like meet up at this team, right? Like, they kind of suck right now, but they've got cap space. Like, let's go over there, right? Let's bolt. That's what a super team is. Like, the original super team was the Miami Heat with LeBron and Chris Bosh conspiring to go down to Miami to join up with D Wade. Like, they made that happen. Those three guys talked. They specifically like line up their extensions so that they can make it happen down there. Remember, Carmelo Anthony was supposed to be the guy in place of Chris Bosh originally, but then Melo got greedy and wanted to take the full, like, I think 5-year max instead of the 4-year max. And so like it messed up like his like timetable for when he was supposed to be a free agent. So then they, like, LeBron and Wade were like, I guess we'll take Chris Bosh instead. And it worked out pretty well for them. They got two titles. But that trio, I don't think would have had nearly the success with like Carmelo being the third banana. Besides the point, we're getting down like a crazy rabbit hole here, right? KD decided to go to the Warriors. Like, that was like a super team because he was like, you know what? Like, the Warriors are already a crazy talented team, and historic cap spike that we had never seen before in NBA history allowed them to add another top tier talent to an already established core. Yeah, exactly. Right. so damn it. Podcast is going off the rails. It's the worst one ever, but, right.
What do you mean?
You're right. Sorry. Worst in the sense of like, it's so bad, it's good. Like when you watch like a really bad movie, but you're still enjoying it. So But legitimately, I do think the Rockets are in that position, right? They like really knocked it out of the park with four really solid draft picks last year. They're going to have another tier one pick this year at number three. They'll have the 17th overall pick potentially trading up, right? Looking at like, I'm eyeing that seventh pick with the Portland Trailblazers, like something fierce, want something for that pick. And like the Rockets have the chance to be like the next like team that's like a truly like homegrown organization, a la kind of like, I mean, you look around the league, there's a lot of teams that are doing that these days, right? It feels like the super team is kind of fading away. You've got like the Atlanta Hawks that are kind of homegrown talent, the Memphis Grizzlies that have a bunch of homegrown talent. Obviously the Warriors, like pre and post KD era, are very much homegrown talent. Sorry, the Redacteds. I can't say their actual name on this podcast.
Yeah, another thing.
Jackson's finally catching on.
It's really good that Jalen thinks this way, because hopefully this means that he will be Dame-like and I want to win with the team that drafted me. Like, I'm not going to want to be joining a super team. Or at least the fact that this doesn't mean anything. People change opinions, but it's good that at least early on he feels this way. Because I've already projected the next 15 years of my life as Jalen Green's 10 years, so I can really sell on that.
Good decision. All right. So we are reaching roughly 20 minutes on this segment as well. When we come back, I think we're just going to keep rolling with the Jalen Green interview. It's gotten us some good stuff out so far. When we come back, I do have a very secret surprise for everyone watching, as well as these two guys. They don't know what I'm going to do here. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back. And continuing into our final segment here on the Launchpad Podcast, we are going to continue to talk about Jalen Green's interview with Bill Simmons. We have a few more tweets I want to get through before we wrap up today. So the next tweet that we have is very important, and this is where our surprise comes into play for our amazing YouTube audience. So Jalen was talking about if the Rockets had asked him for his thoughts on the third overall pick. He said, we have the third overall pick. There are three great players. Let's build. Come on. So I mentioned that the team has asked his thoughts about who the player is going to be, and he has delivered said thoughts. So now we are going to use our graphic here. There it is. There it is, everyone. The newly renovated Bankero boat. I'm sorry if you're not on YouTube. We will get this out to the rest of y'all via some other means, but there it is, the new beautiful boat. I'm sure many of you want to join. I'm sure Jalen is going to want to join in time. It's so beautiful. Look at it in all its majesty. So in all seriousness, do y'all like that the organization is taking in Jalen's input on the draft pick, just kind of generally as a concept? Or do y'all think that, you know, they should really rely on their scouting? They should rely on, you know, their general manager, basketball ops people to make this pick? Or you think, you know, taking Jalen's wishes into it is something to do that is good already at this point in his career?
Let me take this one first, Jackson. I'll steal whatever you're going to say. To me, it depends. Well, if Jalen's advocating for one of these guys, then yes, they should totally take his advice and follow.
Which guy is that?
I don't know.
It's a little messaging right now. It's fine.
It's considering it's me saying this, it's pretty unpredictable who it might be. Now, just as a concept, I think it's fine to ask Jalen what he feels, because, well, he knows these guys, or we know that he at least knows Ivy, Jabari, and Ivy, Paolo, and Chet. So we know he has some insight being with these guys as they were growing up that they'll probably won't be able to get from anybody else. So from that perspective, yes. Should they let it dictate who they pick? No, they should. If they feel a guy's better than Jalen feels another guy's better, they should definitely go with their scouting team, because, well, this is an NBA team, and as much as we value the vibes, it's not that important. That being said, I think it's cool. They loop them into the mix. I feel like that helps them be more invested into the franchise, that builds that trust. And I think that can only bring good things in the long term.
All right, Jackson unfortunately did not provide a Jabari Jungle graphic for us today, so we cannot do his propaganda like we did the Van Carabo propaganda, but perhaps for next time he'll provide us with a graphic and we can plug
it. We weren't going to anyway.
I would have humored him and done it. Maybe not as much screen time as the Bankero boat and all of its majesty and glory. But
I hate not being in the producer seat. I want to turn my own camera off. This is awful. No, don't turn me off now. But you guys would not understand the number of people that like DM'd me, like being like, yo, we need like a Jabari Jungle graphic. And like, I legitimately was like, I can't do anything with a jungle. Like, I was actually for like a few days there, I was like, how can I make this like kind of meme worthy? Cause like, the Bankero bus was like kind of dope. The Bankero boat is dope. Like you can like, that's like a meme worthy like vessel, right? Of like, you can kind of like, you know, be like, yeah, come on board. Like all this, like, what are you going to, let's go get lost in the Jabari jungle, bro. Like it doesn't work. Like it's just, it's kind of lame that there was nothing else that we could come up with that like worked better than Jabari.
When you said that, I just thought that my socks getting soggy walking around like a rainforest. I don't know. So doesn't sound like a good time.
That's what I should have. You know, that's what I should have done. I should have done Rainforest Cafe and been like, just like, come and join us in the jungle. Just
free
like Photoshop Jabari's head on like the Rainforest Cafe sign. Anyways, no, I think it's
still time. Like, it's not over yet. You can still do it.
I think it's really solid that the Rockets are seeking input from Jalen Green. I doubt that they're like running around like any of the other. Like, I doubt like they're like, you know, looping KPJ in or Shingun or anything like that, but it shows that they do view like, you know, where like it shows a good standing for Jalen Green with the organization, right? It's kind of that level of trust where even if it's just done like on the surface of like kind of extending to Olive Branch, like maybe they're not going to like truly take into account what he says, but at the same time, it's that gesture of good faith. Like, hey, you're our guy. Like, what do you think about some of these guys? Like, or what do you think about this guy in particular? And I do think it's worth noting that in the podcast, the quote specifically, like the word choice that he chose was, they asked me about somebody. They didn't say they asked me about like the guys at the top. They didn't say, oh yeah, they asked me a few questions. They said he said the word somebody, singular, one name. And so like, you can extrapolate that. Stop it, Don. This is like peak production value. Like, I don't want to hear anything different. These are like the best graphics you'll ever see on YouTube. But legitimately, like, maybe I'm overblowing this because like whatever, but I mean, I'm inclined to believe that like, if you're at pick number 3 and the common consensus around the league is that Jabari and Chet are going to go 1 and 2 again, maybe like OKC surprises everybody and takes Paolo number 2, maybe something wild happens and like Orlando comes out of nowhere and takes Paolo at number 1 or wants to trade down or something. Like, crazy stuff can always happen, but at the end of the day, like, all the signs are pointing towards Paolo Banchero being a Rocket at number 3. And so it's quite possible that the Rockets like hit up Jalen Green and are like, hey, tell us about what you think about Paolo. Like, you know, should he be the guy at number 3 kind of deal? And then they've already done or are doing their own research, but at the same time still wanting to extend that, you know, that olive branch to their star player and saying, hey, like, give us some info. How do you feel about this? It's a great sign.
If you're going to ask Jalen Green about someone, it's probably going to be Paolo. I mean, we all watched that press conference to end the season where he mentioned Chet, Ivy, and Paolo, and he said that Paolo was his boy, and he kept up with him.
Like, they could be asking Jalen if he thought Chet was too skinny to play in the NBA as someone who was also skinny. You never know.
I'm not going to lie. During that final press conference, Jabari Jungle took a massive hit. Like, that was, I remember the referendum on Jabari, like right after that conference, Jabari Jungle was in the mud that night. It was like, it was the worst night ever. Cause I was like, oh, okay.
Jalen doesn't even know who you are, dude. Doesn't even know.
Wait,
you,
what? Bro. If there's one of us he knows, it's definitely Jackson.
No, it's not me. Boy. He's saying that Jalen Lil Bro Jabari.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I could tell exactly where the disconnect was the moment Don started reacting to Paolo's sentence, and I was like, "What?" I was like, "I know why he's making these faces."
Jackson,
I need to
giving
clear
this
smoke.
It's like, hey, you have to do my guy Jackson like that. That was mean as hell.
Right. We're really aggressive towards our guests on this podcast. Please don't accept coming out.
Nah, Jackson's the homie, bro. We can cut up with him. But something we will not be making fun of, the great city of Houston, Jalen Green was asked about it, and he said, the food is crazy. They got the best food out here, I swear. It's where you put the weight on for sure. They got all different types of food out here. I love it. So obviously a completely 100% factual statement there by Jalen. If you've ever been to Houston and enjoyed some of our fine cuisine, Paolo, I'm sure you can attest to that as well. The food is incredible.
I want to, please.
Paolo did enjoy him some Shipley's, that's for sure.
Ship me some Shipley's, please.
Also enjoyed himself some Landry's via Saltgrass. And then you also enjoyed some Whataburger. So some good weight gaining types of food there for sure. And, you know, Jalen needs to put on, you know, good like lean muscle type of weight, maybe a little bit less than the Shipley's for him, other than just kind of getting some carb type of calories in to refuel. But you know, it's a big thing being from Houston, right? Having all the different types of foods here, you have a bunch of different cultures represented in Houston, in across the different areas of Houston. So it's good to see Jalen has gotten out and explored that type of Houston, or that part of Houston, and you know, started to get comfortable in the community. This is a guy that's probably going to be here for, we'll say, at least, you know, six to ten more years, depending on how many contracts he re-ups with us. But yeah, I think, you know, being more involved in the community is definitely a good thing. And you know, maybe one day we have the 13 restaurant, maybe we'll have a 4 restaurant somewhere as well, and that may be, you know, the final frontier of this for Jalen. Do y'all have any other food thoughts?
Y'all, we need like there's a happy medium between Jalen enjoying the food in Houston and Zion eating too much jambalaya in New Orleans. So like, we just need to make sure he doesn't go the Zion route. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, you know, disrespecting future Rocket Zion Williamson already not off to a great foot when we make that trade, Jackson. I'll have to edit that one out as well. More on the city of Houston from Jalen. He said he was super excited when he heard he was getting drafted there. That I didn't really care where I was going. We can debate that. I just wanted to be top. I would agree with him there. He said, I'm happy where I'm at. I like my situation. And, you know, we got into it with Pistons fans a little bit when Jalen said, I want to go first of all to Detroit. And then he said, no one wants to go to Detroit. He had the shirt on as well, the Deion Sanders shirt, who also famously did not want to go to Detroit. And, you know, had a little bit of a contentious relationship with that. And, you know, coming out of this podcast generally, some of the stuff that I saw floating around Twitter was like, oh, wow, we didn't realize Jalen wasn't that arrogant. We thought he was arrogant for some unknown reason. I think some of that does go back to the Detroit thing, right? Because I think a lot of Detroit fans were like, hey, this guy is slandering our city. And, you know, rightfully did not appreciate that and tried to make it out to be, hey, you know, this guy is an a-hole, this guy is arrogant, all that stuff. When, also, you know, I brought this up before, being someone who's from Houston, a warm weather climate, I spent a winter up in Chicago, and it was a big transition to make. It's not like a natural thing to be up there. It's cold. You have not a lot of sunlight. Like, you have to learn how to drive in the snow. Like, it's a big life change. And for someone from Southern California, or I guess mid-California, it was going to be a lot more natural of a culture fit coming to Houston than it would have been going to Detroit. So I've pointed that out at the time. We'll bring it up again here. And I do think it was good. As much as we slandered Bill Simmons earlier on this pod, I do think it was good to have his audience and kind of see that side of Jalen as, you know, just a normal type of, I won't say normal. He's obviously, you know, he has a lot of the star qualities in him, but, you know, just very humble guy, a guy that's really grounded and kind of understands his place in the league, in the hierarchy of the league right now.
And yeah, I think a little bit of it was the way, like, the long hair, the grill, the way he dresses, just, it's easy to, that combined with the Detroit thing, to profile him into, oh, get this guy's like, and he's really arrogant. It's just how it is. And I think it was really good just for people to realize that Jalen is actually, he looks like a really chill guy. It doesn't look like a guy that's always trying to show off or something like that. Although his game would fit the game of someone who's really arrogant because it's so flashy. Yeah, I think was overall pretty good. But
all right, Jackson, do you want to throw Detroit under the bus like you just threw Zion under the bus here real quick? Or
I don't think Zion fits under a bus, but go ahead.
I feel sorry for that bus.
More Zion slander. This is definitely going to the description. Jackson Catlin of Locked On Rockets crushes Zion Williamson.
Look, if you're going to put me and Zion in a sentence together, I'm not going to be the one crushing him, okay? Like,
again,
you keep setting me up for it. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
oh my God.
No, I really shouldn't. Like, Zion's done, like, a great job, like, actually, like, cutting back down and, like, getting his body to a place where, like, he's looking better. He looked better, right? Like, you saw some videos, like, towards the end.
You look like a whale.
I saw him dunk.
Oh, damn. All right. Now.
Zion's never coming to Houston now. We have completely.
It is not hard to look better than what he did like 3 months ago.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. I mean,
right, I'm gonna cut y'all's mics off here before y'all do any further damage. All right, let's go to the last tweet here that we're gonna talk about. Jalen Green's goals for next season: win more than 20 games, make the All-Star game. Average 20 to 25 points per game, which, you know, it's a fairly wide range in there. And he said, the way I ended the year, I feel like if I carry that from the start all the way through, there should be no reason I couldn't average that 20 to 25 points per game. So let's power rank these. That's always fun. What do y'all think most likely – second most likely and least likely? I will go first.
Wait. Instead of power ranking, can we just like actually like bet, like, or not bet, but like predict, like yes, no, like, or do you want a power ranking?
I like the power ranking best.
Okay. I'm sorry. We'll do power rankings. I'm sorry, sir.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we can do yes, no. That's fine. Paolo, you can be the deciding vote here.
He's the tiebreaker.
Or do you want to do yes or no?
Now I'm in a tough position. There's my boss and there's my co-host.
Yeah, you see, it's not easy to see which side you're on. I got lucky the first time. I was like, oh, you're over there, and you fumbled the bag. Like, oh, he's over there somewhere. No, I'm not. It's outside. I can't be over there.
You don't get it. The earth is a globe, so wherever I point, it's going to eventually find you.
Right? It's our fourth host over there, redacted. Like, that's, you know, that way. So now let's do the power ranking. Right. That's what you want to do first. Let's
power
do
ranking. All right, let's do the power ranking. So, all right, I'm going to say that first.
Power
ranking's
so easy, dude. Like,
okay,
no,
we're doing power ranking. The boss has decided it's game over. It's happening. There. Okay, sure. I'm putting my foot down.
The first most likeliest thing that I think will be done is win more than 20 games. I think we're gonna have, well, some of us think we're gonna have, you know, future Hall of Famer Paolo Banchero on this team. We'll see who it actually winds up being, but with, you know, future Hall of Famer Paolo Banchero and future Hall of Famer Jalen Green on the same team next year, I think, you know, getting above the 20 win mark should be possible. It was difficult to win without Eric Gordon here this year, but Eric Gordon could be around, you know, until the trade deadline or something along those lines. Again, obviously getting a leap from other guys on the roster will help get some more wins as well. And just generally, I think 20 is a manageable goal here. It's not super high. I think manageable.
Oh, I heard something else. I might have had to
get your mind out of the gutter, homie.
No, it's not even one of those. It's one of those situations where you say a word that I've never heard before.
All right, so the second most likely thing I would say would be to average 20 to 25 points per game. Like he said himself, you know, if he carries on the momentum he had from earlier on the season, then he could definitely average that amount. I do think if he starts scoring to that level, we will see defenses key in even more on him and probably make him give up the ball, making it just a little bit more difficult, especially if he's not getting to the line at a super high rate like he wasn't to start out this season. I think that just may take his scoring down a little bit below that mark, maybe like 17 to 19 for sure. But I could definitely see him getting up to 20, especially 20 to 22. And then last, I'll say make the All-Star game, just because, you know, there's so many veteran guards in the West. It's just hard to make that All-Star team, you know, at this time. You're going to have Ja Morant. You know, Steph Curry always gets the Warrior push / fun vote that also got Wiggins into the All-Star game. We'll see if Lillard has a bounce-back year and makes it, and then – Luka as well, you know, someone that's probably going to be in the All-Star game for the near future.
See, this is why power rankings are a terrible idea, because everybody's going to keep the same one.
Yeah, like, Like my power rank is the exact same as yours.
What's there to change?
I thought someone may say that, you know, scoring 20 to 25 would be the one that was the most likely.
It's 20 to.
All right, you know what we're gonna do now.
How many points a game did Jalen Green score this season?
I don't make me log out and log into the producer seat. I'm signing an executive decision right now. Goodness. We're gonna go from power ranking since we all agreed on the three that we just power ranked because we're all gonna put them in the exact same order. Let's make predictions. Which ones are actually gonna happen next year?
Okay, I'll go first. I'm going to go no to the All-Star game. Yes to the more than 20 wins. Like, there's no way. And
there is a way. There's definitely a way.
And predict his points per game average.
Right. And yes to the 20 through 25, just because 20 is pretty manageable. If you go up to 25, there's only like 8 players
in the NBA. This guy slandered me for saying manageable, and then he immediately stole my word. And
you taught him a new word. Leave him alone, okay?
Jesus, Don. Why are you being so mean, dude?
He put it on a post-it note right on his computer monitor so that he could reuse it as soon as he saw fit, okay?
It's right here, dude. It's right here.
It's actually over there. Yeah, but anyways.
Yeah, it's actually.
Yeah, there we go. We're just starting. Everybody point different directions. Just like when the whistle gets blown in the NBA and everybody's like, this way. Like, all right. Give us a prediction for his points per game average, because that's going to be our tiebreaker when we like revisit this pod like a year from now to see if he actually like attains any of these goals.
I'm writing these down as well.
Good.
You will be held to this, and if he doesn't score this, you're going to have to do push-ups or something.
Let me see what his average was for the second half of the season.
You have to do as many push-ups as you were like wrong on your prediction. Prediction? Wow, I can't speak.
And you're French as well now?
I don't know. oui, prediction. Like.
Okay. I'm not going to address that.
So since the last 32 games of the season, Jalen averaged 20.7. So I'm going to go with 21.
Okay, that's perfect, because I'm going to go with 21.8.
We're doing point things. Like,
yes, what? We can do point things. He has to do 8/10 of a push up if he gets it wrong. Like, come on.
Then I'll change mine from 20.1 to 21.7, so you're screwed if it's lower than yours. Jackson, don't go 21.9. Oh, and
y'all are terrible.
No, this is awful. I hate this. Stop it, Paolo.
Oh, man.
Anyways.
Okay, so you're getting 21.0 because I'm not letting you change that for shenanigans. That's what you said, 21, right?
I'm going to go. All right. Final vote, Paolo. No shenanigans. What's your call? Go.
21.7.
All right, there. Don, what's yours?
21.8.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to go 23.1.
23.1. Okay.
Yep. And I'm also going to go, over on the 20 wins for sure. So yes. And then no All-Star game.
Okay. So over, we got the picks here. And then everyone went no All-Star game. So, all right. I think...
For reference, go ahead. There were 14 players in the entire NBA that averaged over 23.1. So,
I think if Jalen gets 18 to 20 shot attempts per game, he's going to get 23. Like, I don't think that's hard to sell at all. Because he got what? He averaged 14 attempts per game this season and averaged 17 off of that.
Three,
and like
17.3.
So like you give him 6 extra shot attempts per game, and then you also up the fact that he's going to get to the free throw line quite a bit more next season after like kind of shaking off like the rookie whistle and whatnot. I think he's absolutely going to be able to hit 20. Yeah, that 20 to 25 range for certain. I think 23 is not like a crazy stretch.
Don, you better not close out before addressing this other aggregation tweet that's there. We've got to address Jalen Green little broing Bill Simmons. He said Jalen Green was asked about the Bill Simmons fuck Jalen Green comment, and he said, when I saw that, I was like, damn, I don't know him. What I do to him? I don't know where this is coming from, which means Jalen Green legit went on Bill Simmons' podcast and little broed him. There's no bigger. Like Bill Simmons is now property of like joint property of Jordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, and Jalen Green. So that's two franchises. We just need the what's the new draft pick for the Texans? Stingley?
Derek Stingley?
Yeah.
Stingley.
He's the next one.
Yeah. You know, Jalen, there's been a lot of dialogue on this, how people thought the optics of this came off. Obviously, this is the second kind of damage control podcast that Simmons has had to do in this situation. I do think Jalen kind of gave him the out a little bit by coming on. But, you know, like I said earlier, there may have been some utility of going on and being able to show that he's like a humble, you know, grounded guy to the Bill Simmons audience. Overall, I don't think this is really going to change the calculus of Jalen Green in the league. You know, I don't think going on this podcast with Bill Simmons is going to affect how he's voted for all-star games and stuff like that, or, you know, all-star teams or anything like that. But overall, I don't think it was a bad appearance by Jalen. I think he handled himself well, especially, you know, going into the lion's den of some guy that was just trying to prop up Herb Jones at his expense. So do y'all feel any differently? You feel the same? If any final thoughts on the Jalen?
Ultimately,
experience.
You know, I don't think they, you know, again, I said this earlier, but Bill Simmons never really like apologized for the whole situation, which I would have garnered a lot more respect for him had he just come out right and either said, like, either A, like doubled down on it and continued to be like an ass about the whole thing, or B, because at that point, like, you're just doubling down on your situation, which, like, you know, whatever, continue being misinformed. But like, or if he come out and said, hey, like at the, you know, on the jump, right, hey, I'm sorry, like, you know, I shouldn't have said that or whatever. But his apology, like, wasn't an apology, right? We were just joking. Like, he never at one point said sorry. He never at one point said, like, I shouldn't have said that. Like, he never owned up to it. And he also never really gave Jalen Green an opportunity to, like, counter what he said. Like, the closest they got was they were discussing the Pelicans and, like, Herb Jones and, like, the run that they went on to end the season and that they became kind of a winning team. And that was, like, all Jalen got to say about the point. It was just, like, the Pelicans became a winning team, like, the second half of the season because they made, like, pickups at the deadline. Like, he kind of gave some examples as to why the Pelicans were in the position they were in to, like, have Herb Jones be in a position to, you know, quote-unquote, impact winning. And apart from that, like, I don't think Jalen wanted to go on that pod and, like, debate Bill Simmons about making, look, he got the all rookie first team nod, right? Great. And you know, this pod was like a win-win for both of those guys because Bill Simmons gets to, like, kind of rehab the image a little bit and try to play nice with Jalen Green. Jalen Green gets some national media buzz because he goes on a big podcast. There's a reason he didn't just jump on, like, some, like, local, you know, random Rockets podcast or
like this one,
you know, like this one, like LOR. Like, there's a reason he didn't sit down and do, like, a think piece with, like, Fagan or Eco, is because, like, the Bill Simmons situation, like, it was a win-win for both guys. So
I had something to say.
You get an F Bill Simmons in the chat. Sorry, I'm sorry.
No, I was gonna say like
press F for Bill Simmons. There we go. Like, not even press F for respect.
I wasn't even gonna say that. I was gonna say straight F Bill Simmons because, well, we already know that in a week or 2 weeks or so, he's gonna be shitting on the Rockets again for whatever reason, be it the draft pick or I don't know. Like, he came off his last podcast before this one doing the exact same thing. So that's not gonna change. And that being said, I guess it's good for Jalen. I don't know. I don't really rate Bill Simmons doing this because he was clearly only doing it because this was not just a Jalen Green thing. This became an NBA-wide thing when Draymond Green addressed it.
And then yeah, Joel Embiid as well.
And Joel Embiid, so those are two huge names. So I just, I don't think there was any, like, paying respect to Jalen Green part of this. It was just, I need to save my brand somewhat. And these guys who are really important are made comments about it publicly. So let me just try to get something back there. And I don't know, I just never liked Bill Simmons. I don't like Bill Simmons. I'm not going to like Bill Simmons after this. It's just, he has done as much negative press as anybody else, including Chris Mannix, on Houston. Every time he has a chance to do so, he will do so. He has done so and will continue to do so. So, I mean, kind of indifferent about it. Hopefully, Jalen got some good press out of it. But, guys, Highly doubt it.
I think it's possible, and again, to echo my same sentiment from earlier in the show, right? It's possible to still be very frustrated with how Bill Simmons kind of handles his, you know, media persona, how he uses his platform, all of that. But at the same time, acknowledging that there's a reason he got to where he is, right? Like like that interview with Jalen objectively was a good interview. Like, and that's me being as objective as I can about it, like separating my biases and just sitting here thinking like that was a solid interview with Jalen. Right. And again, that doesn't change my perception of Bill Simmons. Likewise to you, like I'm still frustrated at the fact that like constantly at every chance he gets, he will slander Houston. He usually has nothing good to say about the city, about its players. Like that's just who he is. And he's done that for years. That's been his shtick for a while. That said, I think it's still important to be able to acknowledge like, hey, even when the worst person, you know, makes a good point or does something like decent, like give them, you know, give them their flowers at least, or give them credit, I should say.
It's so insanely weird that so many guys out there make it their stick to go after Houston, be it on one spot or another. Chris Mannix, Bill Simmons, there's a lot of them, even on national.
Hey, they hate us because they ain't us. That's the big thing, right? So
I guess
they have to live where it's cold for like 7 months of the year, and they have to.
That would make me angry. So, like, I mean,
yeah. I guess the last thing I'll say is, I would much rather have them do whatever they did to Jalen and have Jalen win the award than be like James Harden, where he deserved 3 awards and we are on the right, but he only got one of those awards. So I would always trade him getting the award and the backlash for it rather than him not getting the award and being the sweetheart for not getting it. He should have gotten it, whatever. Just at this point, and it's pretty telling that me as an NBA fan for what, 6 years now, 7 years now, that I'm already at this point where I don't care. I know at the end of the day what's going to count is what's on that player's list of awards when he reaches the end of his career. Nobody's going to look back and say James Harden should have had 3 MVPs 20 years from now when they talk about the best shooting guards of all time. So I'd much rather just get the award, because down the line, nobody's going to care about the circumstances. People care about the name written on the award.
Yeah. So we've reached time. That's going to do it for us today. Just real quick, one more time, of course, you can find me at Don Knock. You can find the pod at Clutch City CR in the description there. You can find the link tree for YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify links. If you haven't subscribed on YouTube, please do that. We are getting very, very close to our goal. And again, we want to thank everyone that has helped us in that journey. Paolo, to the people where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, y'all can find me at Paul Alves NBA. That's Paulo Alves NBA. Everything I do, from podcasts like this one to the live shows on Twitter Spaces, which, by the way, will probably be tonight as you're watching this. So yeah, follow me on there.
And Jackson, tell the people they can find your stuff.
Track me down at JT Gatlin on Twitter, and be sure to check out all the different places that I talk basketball and Rockets specifically. Locked on NBA, Locked on Rockets, State of the Rockets, and of course, bi-weekly here at the Launchpad Podcast.
Perfect. So until next time, y'all, be safe. Very important time to continue to be safe, and go Rockets.